give a little way of introduction. And maybe some of you don't know me, but I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus, he put me in the ministry maybe when I was around, say, 49, and God called me to preach. Or he didn't actually, I don't know if you want to call it, he called me to preach, but he puts on a burden, he puts you in this ministry, and obviously then there's a... Here comes the preacher. He's all right. So the idea then is that sometimes I think that today people look at the person, and because God put me in this ministry to preach his word, I sometimes think that people misunderstand maybe what it's about. And really what it is about is quite simply this, is to give the hearers a message that's his message from the word of God. Not my message, but his. So it's this morning, and so today I'd like to just put a little bit of gravity here this morning, just a little bit of, as we move into this subject today, I want everyone to think about this. It is more, sometimes I think it's more serious than people realise. I do thank the Lord though that there's lots of good things in the Christian life, and it's not all gloom and doom. It's not all about doing and don't and do's and all that kind of stuff. Amen. But there are parts of the Word of God that sometimes we just need to get in. And I thank everyone here this morning to being here, because in reality, what we're doing this morning is gathering around the Word of God and seeing if we can see that God might speak to you this morning, that we can get some thoughts from this, and we'll see where we go. So what I'm going to do this morning, let's go to John 11, verse 1. And well, let's just pray. Father, thank you again. We do need you. Father, need your spirit and your strength, Father, and that sweet spirit, Lord, that you give us. God, may the word of God open to our hearts, our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Now, here we've got in John 11, verse 1, I'm going to read the story. We'll go down to about verse 16, and I'll stay in John 11. Now, the Bible says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, and of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, I know there's a doctor in the house. And I know most of you here this morning go to see the doctor. And the reason you go to see the doctor is because what? We get sick. And that's just a fact of life. And as we've been looking at is that when man sinned and God had taken them outside of the garden, he removed them from the tree of life. I want you to understand that while he was in the garden, he had fellowship with God. And I want everyone to get something in your head this morning, that in heaven there is no sin nor death. But when sin entered into the world, it set up a thing for now the one who had fallen from the throne of grace, which was Lucifer or Satan, the anointed cherub, came down as a serpent, beguiled Eve, and there was one commandment that man had to do, and that was not to touch of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if you did, they would surely die, and that death was a spiritual death. Well, for those who read your Bible, that's what happened. But from that moment then, God put man outside of that garden. And it set up what is called the kingdom of this world is not God's of heavens, it's Satan's. And the kingdom of this world has sin and death. You know, someone said you can escape taxes, but you will not escape death. And isn't that sad? I mean, seriously. And we are living in this world, and I want you to understand that as we look at this passage, Jesus Christ is on the earth. And there is Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus is sick. And what happens here, have a look here in verse 3. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And there's a prayer. And they send this message down to Jesus. And they're saying, Lazarus, the one you love, Lord, is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Sounds like there's an answer to prayer here. He's going to go up and he's going to do something to Lazarus to awake him. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And then the Bible says, Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You know, there was a fellow one day, He'd written on his gravestone, and he wrote on the gravestone, he said this, I told you I was sick. And what Jesus is now telling the disciples is that Lazarus is dead. But when he received that letter from Mary and Martha, it would appear that he probably was still alive. And Jesus said, I'll abide here 2 days. Have you ever noticed something about God, that his timing is not our timing? Who's ever been impatient for something? We all have, haven't we? And I want to talk to you about timing, God's timing this morning. And God's timing here would be in the way we think, not how we think. Because let's just be quite honest, they sent a letter to him whom he loved, and he didn't come. He abode there 2 days. And then finally he finally tells the disciples that Lazarus is dead. And how do you think Jesus knew that? Amen. Because he was God. And realize and understand something, that that the Lord knows everything. And the Bible says he never sleeps. The Bible says that the Lord's eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And here's a storm that's happened in someone's life that's very dear to Jesus Christ. And the storm is this, that Lazarus is now dead. Can I say everything to everyone here this morning? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. It wasn't Jesus' fault that Lazarus had died. It was because sin and death entered into the world. That's why he died. And often what we tend to do is we blame God. And he waited. You know, and have a look in verse 16. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. What do you mean, Thomas? Well, Jesus, if they're going to stone you, let us go also that we may die with him. You know who Thomas is called in the Word of God, don't you? Doubting Thomas. And Thomas doubted something. And he doubted something that I wanted us to talk about this morning, that we can link the two things together and understanding the timing of God and who Jesus Christ is. Because there's one thing that Thomas denied was who Christ was. He doubted. Now, who's ever just doubted when it comes to the things of God? Come on, let's be honest. We all have. Amen. And doubt in the Word of God is unbelief. And that's all it truly is. Now, let's go over to chapter 10 for a moment and have a look in verse 22. So just go back one chapter to lead into this. So here's why the Lord's on the earth. Now, you know, I want everyone to think about something. Who remembers the story when Jesus walked on the water? You know, when he did that, it showed who he was. Can I say something to you this morning that's a little bit greater than him just walking on the water? I've seen magicians do it. Surely got some little trick. But he didn't just walk on the water. He walked in the storm. Because as soon as he got in that boat, that storm was calm. And I want you to understand something about the Lord. He's not just the man in the flesh. He was God on the earth. And he came into this world as the Lamb of God, which we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. But he walked on the storm. As one lady said, stop telling God how big the storm is. Tell the storm how big God is, amen. And of course, folks, it's all to do with how we see Jesus Christ, who you think he is or what you've been taught or whatever the case might be. But in John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, what's the Bible say, everyone? Tell us plainly. If thou be the Christ. Of course, Christ is the one that they were looking for. He's the one that turned up. And now they're asking him a question, and this is the question they're asking him. Tell us plainly. And you know what they're doing in this passage? They said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Do you know what these folk are doing here? They're blaming God for their unbelief. They're blaming him by saying, how long do you cause us to doubt? Can I say something this morning? God is not in the business of causing us to doubt. I should hear an amen there. Seriously, that is not God's business. And now these people are blaming him. Oh, well, God, I just don't believe in you. It's your fault. True. And what they're asking, look, Lord, tell us plainly. So they're blaming him. Notice the next verse. Then came the Jews around about. Jesus answered, I told you. And he believed. What's the next word? Not. You know what Jesus just did? He turned the blame on them. You know what he said? You don't believe because of doubt. Hmm. It's not a nice little message, is it? What are you saying? I'm saying this, is that when you die, and you will meet God one day, you will not be able to say to him, Lord, you caused me to doubt. And you know what God would say? He'll just turn around and say, you doubted because of your unbelief. Now let me help everyone here this morning. Unbelief generally is something that we doubt, we don't believe on, because maybe one, we don't know anything about, would you agree? Or secondly, maybe we just don't want to know anything about it. True? I mean, you think about it this way. How many people would be in church today if they really believed? We've got this little office out the back, and all I hear all day is beep, 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 beep. There's a pub down there. And they bring in to this town, into Kingaroy, they bring in free semi-loads of beer and grog each week. And they unload it. Wow. That's kind of, and that's just for one pub. So what happens here in this passage, we'll keep going down and we'll pick this passage up. And Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. So he tells the Jews, look, I told you, you believe me not. And then he says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you realise and understand something this morning, that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were his sheep? They were following him. And they had sent a letter on to say that Lazarus was sick. And obviously they didn't want to see their brother be in any more pain or any more anguish. And they sent him down to Christ. And then Jesus says to the Jews, they hear my voice and follow me. Then he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know something this morning? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and you might not realise this morning, but as soon as you did, God gave you eternal life. Now, I want you to get the issue that Martha and Mary were followers. They might not have realised that God had given them eternal life. And, of course, now Lazarus is dead. You know, one of the best funerals I've ever been to was an old lady saint of mine that I knew for many years. She was named Mrs. Bell. She looked after her husband for 5 or 6 years at the age of 84 and looked after him in bed. She was a nurse. Brother Ted went on home to heaven, and then Mrs. Bell got cancer. And I just saw her lying on her bed, just praising God. I thought, lady, you're one of his. We'll keep going. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So who's Jesus now calling Father? God the Father. Then he says, I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? So think about this morning, folks. They're going to stone him. And the reason they're going to stone him is because he made himself one with the Father. And he says to them, well, what works are you going to stone me for? Now let me give you some of the works that was a witness that he was God. So in Luke 4:18, when Jesus, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In Luke 7:14, as he walked by the byre, which was a young man was died and there was a funeral service, touched him, brought him back to life. Read Jairus' daughter. Rose her from the sickbed. He gave sight to the blind. He took the captives and set them free. He helped them that were bruised and sore and depressed. And he's saying to the Jew, tell me, what good work do you stone me for? And let me do something here this morning. And I've got some stones here. I got some stones. And he says this. So he says to him, well, what good work do you stone me for? And then the next verse it says this. And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, oh my soul. Well, we're not going to stone you, Jesus, for your good works. We're going to do this. But for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. You know what they were going to stone him? Let me give you an illustration. If I was to tell the audience this morning that Allah, which is what the Muslims worship, is not God. Do you know what the Muslims would do to me?
Stone you.
Stone me.
Yep.
And by the way, Allah is not God. He's the God of this world, of sin and death. We're all familiar with it. You know what they're going to stone Jesus Christ for? Because he said he was God, and the works that he did showed that he was God. And because he said, I am God, and made himself one with the Father, that was enough for the Jew. You're out of here. You know, when the Americans went into Afghanistan, I believe, they had to burn their Bibles. You can't proselyte in a Muslim country. But can I say something to you? Realise that today you see ISIL or Daesh or whatever you want to call it, and what are they doing? They're murdering people, aren't they? But can I say something to you about Dubai, who is under a true Islamic state, who's part of Islam? Go and search out how many executions are taking place in Dubai. In other words, that's what they're doing to their own countrymen. I saw a video recently of a young lady who was fully covered in the, you know, what you call it? Yeah. And she was lying on the ground, and I don't know what they call the guys, but they had, you know, he had a big white frock on and so forth, and he had a stick. And she had probably been caught into some misrelationship, I would imagine. And she's lying on the ground saying, please do not kill me. And this man, this rabbi, whatever you want to call those guys, I'm not sure what you call them, had a stick. Probably something like that stick on the ground there. And beat her to death. That's who Allah is. He is not the God of this book. That is Satan. And I'm being serious this morning because he is the God of this world. And you know what they're doing now? They're trying to say that because I believe in God, that it's the same God as that they believe in. I have never met a person who's trusted Jesus Christ go and kill someone because that person said, I don't believe in the God you trust. Amen? Have you ever seen anyone do that? And yet they had stones, they had these little stones and they were going to stone him. You know, as a Christian, I'm so thankful I don't live there. Actually, as a Christian, I'm glad I'm not ministering in a Muslim country. But stones. Have a look. Keep your finger there if you can. Have a look in. See if you can go back to Numbers. If anyone can go back to Numbers, it goes Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy, Numbers. Don't have to turn there, but I'll read this to you. And if anyone knows about Israel, when there were certain times in the history of Israel, there were things that happened. And in this passage here of Numbers 21, the Bible says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us.'" Moses prayed unto the Lord. And what's happening here is that there's a passage here where Israel have sinned and God's judging them, and what he's done, he has sent serpents amongst the people. So Moses, and if you study the book, you know what the Israelites were towards Moses. So Moses prays and he says, "Well, God, what should I do?" And then this is what happens here. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.'" And so here's the pole. You have to use your imagination, folks. And he says he makes a fiery serpent and he puts this thing on a pole. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And I want you to think this morning that the serpents come into Israel as a judgment and they've been bitten. Now, can I ask everyone this morning, and you don't really have to answer me because I already know the answer to what I'm going to say, but who sinned here this morning? Maybe not today, but who knows what sin is? Come on, we all do. Guess what? You've been bitten. And you know how you got bitten? Because we got cast out of the garden. And so what happens here is that God just says, "Moses, I want you to put a fiery serpent on this pole." He says to them, and then he gives this repentance, I suppose, to Israel. He says, "Everyone who looks upon it will live. Everyone who doesn't dies." Do you know how crazy that is? Do you know how simple that is? And do you know how many people died? You know why? They couldn't look and live. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up." You know, all the Bible really tells us to do is just to look on him. That's how simple it is. But you know why people don't look on him? Pride. "No, that's just too easy, God." Well, didn't the Jews come up and they say to him, "Well, tell us plainly"? Well, let me ask you something. How easy does God make it in this dispensation? Just look unto Christ. That's how simple it is. And so there's the serpent. Now let's I'll keep going with this. But I want everyone to think this morning that there is no sin and death in heaven. You know, there's no suffering in heaven. There's no crying in heaven. There is no missing your loved ones if they're in heaven with you. But you know why people don't go to heaven? Because they deny Jesus Christ of who he is. Because only God can save you and me. Salvation is a gift of God. It's free. And it's something we couldn't do because we were cast out of the garden. And God showed the grace of God and the imputation of sin when he cut that little lamb, and he covered their shame, Adam and Eve's shame. And I knew that growing up, I'd been to the Baptist unions and all the churches, and there was a thing in my heart that I just knew that I wasn't going to heaven. And there was something else I knew, that my religion wouldn't get me there. For me, I had no way out. So someone told me about the Bible. Go back to, let's come back now to our passage, go back to John 11. Now, thank you all for being here, because this is a, what I'm talking about this morning is serious. This is the truth. So go back to John 11 again. Now let's pick up the story where now what's happened now is that Thomas has doubted, and he said, well, we'll just go and die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had, this is in verse 17, he lain in the grave 4 days already. And that's talking about Lazarus. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Martha and Mary are now mourning. They're in a place of mourning. There's a place, can I say, of all loss, all hope is lost, amen. And Jesus didn't turn up. The one that they had put their trust in, the one that he said, if you follow me, I'll give you eternal life. Now Lazarus is dead. And it's sad, maybe you could just do this for a moment. Who's ever lost a loved one? And you know, when you lose a loved one, it normally comes when you don't expect it. I hate picking up the phone sometimes. I wonder who it's going to be this time. So they're mourning, and then Martha in verse 21, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. The sisters are both a little different in their action, maybe a little bit different in their mourning, maybe a little bit different in the way they handle things. Yeah, listen to me. I know some of you have gone through a lot of stuff in this life. Martin's 80. Come on. He woke up in the Second World War. I'm serious. And so Martha comes running and says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. You know, Martha's theology is right. She's thinking of the very last day. But she's not thinking of the now. She's not thinking of this moment. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, the greatest thing that I ever got was that when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Saviour, that the Lord showed me that I had eternal life there and then.
Amen.
Man, what a blessing. What a total victory over sin and death, amen. I'm not worried about dying now. And all I had to do was not wait for the end days. I just had to believe on him when? Right now. You know why? Because he said, I am the resurrection. What do you mean? You know what the gospel is? That he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. Man, you want to speak plainly? You know what I said to the Lord? I said, okay, God, if this is true, and that you really rose out of that grave, which is a lot of power over sin and death, I want you to prove yourself to me. And you're saying, Simon, you're crazy. I probably was a little bit when I look back at it. So I challenge him. Hey, come on. Look, listen to me. He said plainly, you know what we do? We don't challenge him. We just sort of said, oh, okay, that sounds a nice little story. And you know, Martha's saying, hey, we'll raise up in the last day. No, find out now. I often tell the story when I had the pie van in Brisbane. I used to ask God, all right, how many sausage rolls do you want me to put in the oven? You know, he'd say 40. And I put 41 in there. And every day there was one or two left, whatever the number might have been. Yeah, I learned to become really irreverent to the Lord very quickly in the beginning of my Christian life. But there was one thing that I had an earning in my heart. I said, Lord, I want to know more about this book. And ever since then, God opened up doors that I never thought was possible, and I stand here today. I never dreamed or believed that I'd stand before others and talk about this subject this morning. But see, Martha's belief is not real. It's a belief of theology. That's all it is. It's a belief of maybe knowing the end times. It hasn't hit home yet. You remember Jesus said that to the disciples when they found out he was dead, he said, I was glad that they might believe. Even though they followed him, they really didn't believe. They were following, but they didn't really believe who he was. The first stone that Thomas threw at Jesus Christ after the Jews were about to stone him was this stone, the stone of doubt. Oh, well, we'll just follow your Lord and we'll die with you. That's doubt. Martha comes now and she's got another little stone. Poor Jesus, he's getting a few stonings on this day. And she comes up to him and says, if thou hadst been here. Let's see what Mary did. Follow the story. So she says, if. You know, when you think of the word, what does that mean? It's a doubt, isn't it? Martha said, am I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day? Jesus said, unto I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live forever. He shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, but believest thou this? So he says to Martha, believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly. You know, really, if you look at this story, did Martha really believe? No. She had theology figured out, but she really didn't believe that he was the resurrection. You know, something I found out that when I didn't believe, the Bible says that God commendeth his love towards us and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that verse said? Even when I didn't believe in him, God had already commended his love. And Christ had already died for my sins. I didn't know that. I was walking around in darkness. Didn't have a clue. So Martha doesn't believe. Then as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to Mrs. Mary in verse 29. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town. We'll pick it up in verse 31, in her house, and comforted her. And when they saw Mary, she arose hastily and went out, followed, and saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. But when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, here's another stone. If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Are we getting the picture this morning? Who are they blaming? Blaming God. Why did Lazarus die? Sin and death. Not because of God. What did Jesus do? Did he walk on their storm? It looks like he didn't. Because where's Lazarus now? He's dead. They've been mourning 4 days. All is lost. This is a sad story. It's a sad story. Now let's keep following this through. Let's go to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Some of them could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? You know, they're getting it. There were a few Jews there that day that thought, hang on, we've seen him open the eyes of the blind. We've seen the mighty works that he did. You know, the Bible says in John that the books of this world could not contain everything that Jesus did in a space of 3.5 years. But they're getting it. And you know what they're saying to the Lord? They're saying, hang on, even if he was here, maybe Lazarus wouldn't have died. But what did God do? He what? waited. You know what that tells me about the Lord? That tells me something about him, that God's timing is not our timing. He waited. He knew, and then he came. He speaks to Martha, and all he's getting from those that follow him are little stones of doubt. Hey, Christian, how often do you throw a stone at your Lord and Saviour? Come on. How often is it that we don't trust him? I'm being serious this morning. You know, when we throw a little if, you know what we're doing? We're letting him down. I'm letting my Lord down. I'm letting the one down that saved me. You know what I'm really saying? I'm saying this. Okay, Lord, I know you can save my soul, but I'm really saying I don't really believe you can take care of my life. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, God, I don't believe really that you'll take care of me. I'm saying to him, I don't believe that you will provide for me. I'm saying to him, I don't really believe that you will answer this prayer. Come on. Am I being honest this morning? That's what the ifs are. The ifs are saying this. We do not really believe who you are, God. You know, Christians, some of the best atheists I've ever met are Christians. Because an atheist is someone who says they do not believe in God, and yet Christians act like he's dead and buried, amen? And they somehow kind of forget there is a resurrection. And I don't have a God that's just written in the Word of God. He's living, amen? He rose from that grave. He's not dead any longer, and now he lives. And the Bible says he lives to make intercession for us at the throne room of grace. So you know that when we pray, do you know that he will hear your prayers? By the way, did the letter get to Jesus? Yeah. Can I say something to you this morning? You know, when you pray and ask him something, I'm going to tell you right now, he hears you. He knows that you pray. That Bible says that his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, holding the evil and the good. And that's comforting. And if you're like me, I've been saved now for 30 years or probably longer, and I pray. At the moment, Jan and I are trying to do a little bit of a real estate deal. See if we can make our mortgage a little bit better. You know what I've got a problem with? Come on, Lord, you've got to sell our house so we can buy the other one. Amen? And I know what God's going to do to me. He's going to do this. He's going to wait to the very last second. And he'll answer that prayer. And it will come to pass. But it will happen at the last second in the hour. Because remember what Jesus said at the beginning of this thing? He said, is that one of the kids? All right, we'll pick it up here. We'll finish in a moment. We'll wrap this thing up in a second. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, cause that even this one should have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. You know why Jesus was groaning? He's sick of being stoned all day long. Amen. Have you ever, Christian, have you ever wondered just how your relationship is with him? Do you please him? You know, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. You know, the Christian life is not a life about sight. It's about faith. And God required that we live by faith, not by sight. That's his requirement. And I wonder what it will be like when I get to the judgment seat of Christ. And I will look on him, and gaze on him, and look at all the marks where I stoned him. From a heart of unbelief. I don't want to get to heaven and say, Lord, I didn't trust you. I didn't really believe that you were the one you said you were. And then here in this verse here it says, verse 39, and Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, mark the sister of him that was dead. Saith unto him, Lord, but by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. You know what Martha just did to the Lord? She didn't hear a word that he said maybe an hour or so ago. You know, people leave church and they never hear. You know what happens on most Sundays? People leave church. You know what they do? They forget what they heard on Sunday. Amen. I'm speaking the truth this morning. I'm not being nice. Because at the end of the day, your soul is in the balance. Christian, at the end of the day, your rewards are in the balance. What does that mean? You'll get to heaven empty-handed. And Martha looked at Lazarus' state. I had a preacher one day who said to me, but he said to my pastor, he said, that man, he'll amount to nothing. You know why? He looked at my state. When Jesus found me, he did truly find me in the gutter. He really did. I thank the Lord for his deliverance. Martha looked at his state. And you know, folks, that's what we do. We look at the situation. We look at the situation and we think, man, the situation's so bad, that's it. And you know what happens when you look at the situation? What's the first thing you lose? Hope. You lose faith. One more. And we'll just close here. Just one more thought. God's timing. In 1982, I used to live in Brisbane. I went to a place called the Pancake Manor. Some of you might know it. It was rather a tame venue. It wasn't the nightclubs. It wasn't the pubs. It wasn't the underground or anything like that. It was called the Pancake Manor. The Pancake Manor. That's what they served, pancakes. And that was our Friday night evening. And I went in there one evening, and they had these sort of square booths, and there was this young lady, she was probably in her very early teens. And she leant over the back of the chair and she said to me, "Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour?" And today I regret what I said. I threw some stones. I said some things to about a 16-year-old girl that I should have never said. Because she asked me, "Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour?" And if I could ever meet that girl, I would thank her for her bravery, for her determination to tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. I threw some stones. Who's ever done that? We all have. Because the Bible says that we're at enmity with God. There's a couple of stones that we seem to keep stoning him. But I want to say this morning, but someone gave me the word of God, the Bible. And they said to me, "You can know." And I open up the book. And I don't know if anyone's done it. If you get your Bible today, I really pray that you would do what I'm asking you to do. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This book says that God wants to tell you plainly. He doesn't want you to have any doubt in who he said he was. And I don't know about anyone in here, but can anyone ever testify opening up the book and you open up the Bible and it's just like the verses start bouncing off the page? You know what that is? That's God showing you that he is who he says he is. And that's Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we can we can then move out to, well, let's pray. We've got one more song. Let's sing Count Your Many Blessings. And we'll do that and then we'll just close and pray. It won't be a moment. I think it is 370, Count Your Blessings. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has.